You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action on Thursday. There's plenty of it as well. We're racing at Wolverhampton, Ludlow, Chepstow and Chelmsford. There's also a card over the RSC at Cork. You can hear the best of the action with Dave Kellner, Ross Briley and Chris Pimrott on Racing Radio from 1:40pm on Thursday afternoon. My name is Sam Norris and joining me on the Racing Podcast today is Mr. Andrew Mount. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good, Sam. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah.
Excellent.
It's an enjoyable period at the moment in racing for me, Andrew. I know a lot of people get a post-Cheltenham lull, but we're only 15 days away from the Grand National now, so we've got Aintree to come, Punchestown after that, Dubai World Cup, and the flat season as well is almost upon us. So despite the fact that some people feel a little bit flat post-Cheltenham, I think it's a very exciting time for the racing calendar.
No, I think it's better. I think there's more to look forward to. You know, Aintree's got some incredible racing, and it's condensed into 3 days.
Yes.
Those first 2 days are fantastic. Mm. You know, if you ever get the chance to go... some real good stuff going on there. You know, the Aintree Hurdle is going to be a fantastic contest this year as well. The 2.5 mile event, you know, you're going to get Cheltenham winners clashing in various races over various distances. So, yeah, lots to look forward to. And as you say, the flat as well.
Yeah, of course.
And the Lincoln, and we get to discuss draw bias again.
Nice, which I know will make you very happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you mentioned the Aintree Hurdle there. It's obviously front page news of the Racing Post today. Bouverdere, the champion hurdle winner at Cheltenham, is set to do battle with Apples Jade, who obviously won the Mayor's Hurdle at Cheltenham and beating Limini and Vroom Vroom Mag in the process. Obviously, it's over half a mile further than the race that Bouverdere won. And Apples Jade, to be fair, she's had no problem really taking on the boys in her career. I know Gordon Elliott early on in the season was keen to keep her against her own sex for a while, but I mean, she was second by a nose in the Fighting Fifth. She was second in a Grade 2 hurdle against the boys over in Ireland. And the fact that it's a step-up in trip for Bouverdere. Would you have them a little bit closer in the betting than they currently are? 10-11 for Bouverdere, and it's 5-1 Apples Jade.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't mind backing Apples Jade each way at that sort of price. I mean, you look at her career record, 10 runs, 6 wins and 4 seconds. And, you know, those seconds include a defeat of just over a length behind Ivanovich Gorbatov in last year's Triumph Hurdle. That nose defeat, as you mentioned, behind Irving when, you know, she was arguably unlucky in the Fighting Fifth. And I wouldn't read too much into that listed defeat at Punchestown a couple of runs back. That was her first run for a few months and was clearly a prep for Cheltenham, you know, where she reversed the form and was... you know, primed to do her best. That was her first run in a tongue tie, so there's potentially more improvement to come, assuming they use the headgear again. And yeah, the 2.5 miles might suit her more than the champion hurdle winner. Mm. So yeah, each way at 5-1, yes please.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of that Aintree news then that has broke over the last couple of days, particularly surrounding some of the JP McManus hopes for the Grand National. Minetta Rocco, who finished fast finishing second in the Gold Cup this year behind Sizing John, has been ruled out of the race despite being a general 10-1 favourite for the Grand National. They're going to target that at the Gold Cup next year. I was having a bit of a chat with Seb Sanders on yesterday's podcast about this, Andrew. And
I thought you were going to say I was having a chat with JP McManus.
No,
I was going to say,
no.
Yeah, fill me in.
No, I'm not that well connected. And Seb was saying that he thought if Minetta Rocco had come out of the Gold Cup sound, they'd definitely be taking their chance in the Grand National. Is that how you see it, or do you think it's more of a case if they want to just target this horse solely at the Gold Cup next year?
I'm not 100% sure, and you know, I would think the you know, the death of Synchronized, who obviously won the Gold Cup and then was fatally injured in the Grand National,
yes,
might be playing on their minds as well. But again, that's just guesswork. And you know, having run so well at yeah, the Cheltenham Festival previously, when beating Native River in the 4 miler last year, finding only Sizing John too good in the Gold Cup, it makes sense to me to think that you know, this is a horse that loves Cheltenham, and let's go all out for the race again next year.
Yeah, and they're still going to have live chance in the race. I mean, more of that, who finished a not disgraceful sixth in the Gold Cup, is going to take his chance at Aintree.
That's right. And again, you look at Manella Rocco's preparation for the Gold Cup this year. He ran a nice race at Cheltenham in November, finishing third of 17 in that 3 mile, 3.5 furlong chase. But after that, he fell behind many clouds at Aintree, and then he unseated behind Sizing John at Leopardstown. So to go into the Gold Cup on the back of two non-completions and finish second of 13, you know, he was an 18-1 shot in first-time headgear as well. You imagine, you know, next year perhaps he could go one better with a more ideal preparation.
Although there'll be plenty of Jacadam backers this year who had that kind of thinking on their mind, the fact that he came into the race off a fall last year, and this year with a better preparation, he'd be sure to go close. Doesn't always work out.
That's a good point, and I think they've now finally realised that Jacadam just doesn't stay that stiff 3.25 miles. Mm. But you know, he ran another good race, didn't he? Before,
he did, yeah.
Fading into fourth.
Yeah, and I think anyone who'd had a sort of each way bet on Jacadam in the closing stages, you'd have thought, well, he's at least going to get third here. The each way money's safe, and then Manella Rocco just comes into shot and sweeps past
out
them.
Of camera frame to do them. The fate of all good each way bets.
Yes, absolutely. We've also got the Dubai World Cup meeting coming up on Saturday as well, Andrew. A fabulous meeting to cap off the season in Maidan. Plenty of British hope going there as well in some of the turf races. I know Aidan O'Brien represents Ireland. He takes a big team over, postponed probably the headline act from these shores. Looking forward to the action on Saturday.
Yeah, I am. I'm not an expert on the Dubai form. I'll leave that to Andy Holding, so I'll certainly be following his tips. But I'm quite interested in Jack Hobbs for the
Shima Classic.
Yeah, for the Shima Classic. And, you know, it's lightly raced. Seems to have been around for a long while, doesn't he? Since making his debut at Wolverhampton, no less, in December 2014. Yeah, he's only had 9 runs in total. Goes extremely well when fresh, and he's going to be fitted with blinkers for the first time in Saturday's race, which is often a positive with John Gosden runners. He's got a nice draw as well, unlike the favourite who's drawn wide, and I think around about the 9-2, 4-1 mark, Jack Hobbs could be worth little interest.
Yeah, Jack Hobbs, 9-2 then with us here for the Shima Classic, a race in which postponed is the warm favourite to get back to winning ways. That's Dubai coming up for the weekend. One other bit of news as well that's broke this morning is that the BHA have announced this morning that they're going to make it more rigorous and harder to become a jockey. They're going to tighten up the guidelines after the rather incredible statistic that 88% of jockeys who obtain a conditional or apprentice licence never ever go on to ride out their claim. You're a man who's a big fan of percentages, Andrew. That one seems alarmingly high.
Yeah, that quite surprised me, actually. Mm. So, yeah, there are strict rules for entry for the likes of airline pilot and heart surgeon. So, yeah, I guess jockeys as well.
Yeah, and I suppose making it a little bit harder to do, it might separate the wheat from the chaff a little bit more. It might mean that the more talented and the more committed come to the fore
There might be more rides to go around as well, because there was an article in the Racing Post last year about how hard it is for some of these journeyman jockeys, you know, to make it pay.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, sort of surviving on a ride here and a ride there. So, yeah, perhaps, as you say, it will improve standards. And, you know, will certainly help financially for some of these young men and women.
Yeah, hopefully so. Finally, then, the flat season is just around the corner on these shores. Anything you're particularly looking forward to coming up this flat season? You mentioned draw biases. Obviously, I know from a betting perspective, you're a man who likes the flat. Any horses or races that you're really looking forward to?
The Lincoln and the Consolation Race, the Spring Mile, are always good to get stuck into at that Doncaster meeting. But, no specific individual horses just yet. Just looking forward to the whole thing kicking off.
Yeah, another thing we were saying to Seb yesterday, it's been kind of quiet, hasn't it? And I say normally, sometimes this time of year, we've had a few murmurs about some potentially live two-year-olds, but there hasn't seemed to be any trainers particularly talking up any of their stock yet.
That's right, although, of course, it'll be interesting to look at all the Frankel two-year-olds, the next crop. I think Andre Farb had one that won at Chantilly the other day. It was around about a 5-1 shot as well. And I noticed somebody put something on Twitter with a photo of the beast and saying they were looking forward to it. And I assumed it was going to start Long Odds On, but didn't.
And I think it'll also be an opportunity for us to see some of those Frankel three-year-olds, and we'll begin to get an idea of just how his progeny are going to train on, because we've obviously seen some sires who produce electric two-year-olds, and a lot of Frankel's two-year-olds were very forward on the track last year, so it'll be interesting to see just how they train on.
That's right, and I can imagine if a couple of them get beaten in the early stages, everyone's going to say, oh, they don't train on, you've got to be against them. Is it Swiss Storm as well? Is that where, was that a Frankel and the Ellsworth?
Yes, I think it was, actually.
Yeah, because again, what I find with the Frankel two-year-olds is that they were being backed regardless of who trained them, whereas some trainers, you know, had got a reputation for, the newcomers needing the runs, but they were still being backed. And say Swiss Storm is a good example of that, trained by David Ellsworth. Because he was a Frankel, he started at odds on 4-5 favourite at Haydock, finished seventh.
Right.
And you think, well, hang on a minute, David Ellsworth's two-year-olds invariably need their first run, so how can he be this price? But he must be showing, you know, obviously, you know, have ability, having gone off so short. Next time out, he goes to Newbury, 4-1. And he wins, and he's now a 20-1 shot for the 2,000 guineas.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it will be very interesting to see how those Frankel horses train on, and indeed his next batch of two-year-olds as well. We'll move on, though, to take a look at some of Thursday's racing now. We've got four races picked out to come on Thursday, beginning at Chepstow with their 350, which is a handicap chase over just shy of 3 miles. Eight runners lining up to take their chance in this race. Anything leaping off the page here for you, Andrew?
I'm very keen on the top weight here, Loch Alder for Matt Shepherd, ridden by Charlie Post, this one. And this one's a real course expert. He's won here 4 times in total. And he'll also like the small field. His sire, Alderbrook, a progeny of the champion hurdle winner, tend to struggle when they're in very big fields. I used to own one of these called Diamond Brook, and he used to do much better in smaller fields. And that certainly seems to be the case with Loch Alder. Majority of its wins have come in single-digit lineups, and he goes particularly well at this time of year. When running between March and May, he's won 6 of his 11 starts, finished 2nd and 4th, and a couple of the others as well. Last time out, he was beaten by 50 lengths at Uttoxeter, but that was in early February. So, you know, we should get a decent price about him this time, I think, and I can see him bouncing back.
Okay.
He's an 11-year-old, but this race has thrown up some older winners in previous years. Victory Gunner was a 15-year-old when winning this in 2013, and 12-year-old Messini Sunset won it the year before.
Okay, Loch Alder then gets the nod, the top weight in that handicap chase at Chepstow. We move on then to look at some of the action at Ludlow over the obstacles, beginning with their feature race of the day, which is a Class 2 handicap chase over 2 miles. Just a field of 5 lining up to take their chance here, but an interesting field of 5 nonetheless going to post, Andrew.
Yes, indeed. Plenty of prize money on offer here. 20,000 guaranteed, 12,500 to the winner. And although there's only 5 runners, it's an intriguing contest. And we have only had 6, 7, and 8 runners in the 3 previous renewals of this contest. The one I'm very keen on is down the bottom of the weight, Sperodek for Inform Nigel Hawke. This one's got a very strong seasonal pattern to his form, a bit like the one I mentioned at Chepstow. And if you only bet him during February and March, he's run 6 times, 4 wins, 2nd and 3rd. Okay. He's on a hat-trick after wins at right-handed Taunton and Sandown last month. So Ludlow should suit, and he got a very good speed figure for that all-the-way win at Sandown last time out. So I'm going to go with Sperodek to make all and complete the hat-trick.
Okay, Sperodek then to rattle off a hat-trick in that 4-10 race at Ludlow for Andrew. We stay at Ludlow then for their 5-15, which is a mare's handicap hurdle over the same trip. It's a Class 3 event this time, and again, just the 5 mares going to post, including last year's winner, Mid-Tech Valentine. Who's on your mind here?
Yeah, that's the one I'm going to go for.
Right.
I say Mid-Tech Valentine representing Ian Williams, another trainer in extremely good form. And this one, like a lot of mares, is suited by very small fields. You look at her wins, they've all come in so very small lineups, 7, 5, 5, and 4 runners. So with conditions to suit, I would not read too much into her last time out defeat at Fontwell. I think the ground was plenty slow enough that day, and I can see her bouncing back here.
Mid-Tech Valentine then to retain her crown in that 5:15 race at Ludlow. We go on to the artificial surface then for the final race on today's podcast. This is the 6:50 from Chelmsford City, which is a 1.25 handicap. It's a Class 4 event on the poly track. Anyone on your mind here?
This was really tricky, actually, because the majority of these are returning from a break or out of form. I think I'm going to go with Taper Tantrum for Michael Bell. Now, this one was last seen running over hurdles, disappointing at Weatherby when keen enough. And although 0 from 6 on the all-weather, this one's got plenty of course and distance form. The last time Taper Tantrum ran here. He was second by a head to a horse called Van Housen, who's now rated 11 pounds higher after a couple of wins at Lingfield. So, you know, a likely front runner back on the flat after disappointing over jumps. I think Taper Tantrum can take the beating from a good draw in stall three.
Taper Tantrum then gets the vote in that 6.50 race at Chelmsford for Michael Bell and Louis Stewart doing the steering. Thank you very much for that, Andrew. Just give us a quick recap, if you wouldn't mind, your four selections for the races that we've looked at on Thursday.
Okay, in the 3.50 at Chepstow, I'm going with top weight Lock Alder in the handicap chase, a horse that goes well in the spring. In the 4.10, Sperodek can make all in the handicap chase. The 5.15, Midtech Valentine, last year's winner in the mare's race. And finally, in the 6.50 at Chelmsford, Taper Tantrum.
Excellent stuff. There we are then, the thoughts of Andrew Mount ahead of all of Thursday's racing, which you can hear live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Dave Kellner, Ross Briley and Chris Pimlott in the studio. Ludlow, Chepstow and Chelmsford joined by Wolverhampton on Thursday's programme. We hope you can join us for all of that. Andrew, thank you very much for your company today. Best of luck and enjoy the action.
Cheers, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.